Let's all still our hearts, please, and commit our way to the Lord with a word of prayer. Let's ask His continued blessing upon us tonight. Eternal God and Heavenly Father, we bow in Your presence. We fall before Thy throne humbly. And yet, Lord, we come and approach Thee and thank Thee that in Christ Jesus Thou hast dealt with our sin. We thank Thee for His precious blood. Rejoice, O God, that it is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. It is the blood of the Lamb that has made atonement for our soul. We thank Thee, Lord, that we come and we stand complete in Christ. And yet by nature, Lord, all of us were born out of Christ. And yet, Lord, we can say that we are now by Thy grace and through faith, we are placed into Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, Lord, for the gospel. We rejoice, O God, that Thou hast committed unto men the privilege of preaching the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. And as we, Lord, stand before Thee in the name of our Saviour, we pray that Thou would hear us for Christ's sake, that Thou would send forth the Spirit tonight and bless us abundantly here as we gather on these pitches. We thank Thee for what Thou hast done over the previous drive-ins. We thank Thee for every individual that Thou hast gathered in. Rejoice, O God, for the gospel has gone forth. We thank Thee that Thou hast forever and always given us that window of opportunity with respect to the weather. And we praise Thy name and magnify Thy great majesty for this. And yet, Lord, it is another gospel service. And we pray for Your continued blessing upon us. Remember Thy dear child as He would sing, fill him full of the Holy Ghost. And may the ministry and song prepare hearts for the preaching of the gospel. We thank Thee, Lord, for the Reverend Dean, for bringing him here in safety. Rejoice, O God, for a man of God, a messenger sent from God. And we pray tonight, Lord, that he would be equipped with Thy message. And Lord, that he would be infilled with the Spirit of the living God. We're asking, O God, to come. We're asking Thee to intervene. We thank Thee, Lord, we read this book. And Lord, this is a book that tells us about a God who visits His people. And Lord, we pray that we would know and experience a visitation of God tonight. Something that we have not experienced before. Yet something we have read about, Lord, not only in Scripture, but throughout church history. We're asking, O God, for Thee to come and move upon each and every one of our hearts. Bless the saints of God. We pray that as we hear the gospel tonight, Lord, that we would be greatly blessed and encouraged. We thank Thee, Lord, for sovereign electing grace, choosing us in Christ before the foundation of the word. We thank Thee, O God, that we have nothing to boast in. But like the Apostle Paul, we say, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, O God, day and daily, to be crucified unto this world, but to live unto our God. And bless us, O God, as we continue in Thy presence. May we know the nearness of our God. And may the strange circumstances, even, Lord, of individuals sitting in their cars, may it not be a hindrance to the Word of God. We thank Thee that Thy Word is quick. It is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And we pray tonight, Lord, that Thou would equip Thy servant to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And may, O God, he preach a good word tonight. May he preach, O Father, as if never to preach again. Preach, O God, with that unusual power. Preach as if he has never or has never preached in such a way before. Give him that unction, O God, that every servant of Thine desires. And we pray that Thou would glorify Thy Son in the salvation of the lost. Lord, we thank Thee, Lord, for even the echo that we hear. And we pray that Thou would waft the gospel by the wind from heaven and carry it down into the estates round about us. And may, Lord, by Thy providence, some individual walking past or with a window open, Lord, may they hear the message that Jesus saves. Hear us, we pray, and answer for the sake of Thy dear Son. For all these things we ask in His name and for His everlasting praise and glory. Amen.
A word of thanks then to the Reverend Dean for coming along tonight. We appreciate his attendance. We welcome him and his wife who is here as well. And in a short time, the Lord's servant will be coming to bring God's message. Currently, he is the moderator of our presbytery and has been having something of a rest over the past few weeks. But we're very glad that he's able to be here to preach the word tonight. And we welcome him and thank him for coming. Then our brother, James McCosh, our clerk of session in our Kirk session, And we thank God for James. He's going to minister in song. And we thank him in anticipation of his ministry and song this evening. And so we leave it there. And I'm going to call upon James now to come and minister in song. And then immediately afterwards, the Reverend Dane will come forward to preach the Word of God. And may the Lord bless both our brethren as they now minister before the Lord and for the Lord.
We are going valley one by one, with our faces toward the setting of life's sun. Down the valley where the mournful cypress grows, and the stream of death silence onward flows. For we are going down the valley, going down the valley. Yes, we're going toward the setting of life's sun. We are going down the valley, going down the valley. Yes, we're going down the valley one by one. We are going down the valley one by one. When the labors of this weary life have run, one by one the cares of life forever pass, we will stand upon the river brink at last. For we are going down the valley, going down the valley. Yes, we're going toward the setting of life's sun. We are going down the valley, going down the valley. Yes, we're going down the valley one by one. We are going down the valley one by one. Human comrades, you and I will there have none. There God's hand, it will hold me lest I fall. Christ is going down the valley through it all. For we are going down the valley, going down the valley. Yes, we're going toward the setting of life's sun. We are going down the valley, going down the valley. Yes, we're going down the valley one by one. Where will you be in eternity? This question comes to you. Your answer be, where will you be in eternity? Eternity, eternity. Where will you be in
to thank James for the ministry in song, and it's a question that needs to be put to the heart. Where will you spend eternity? We're glad to be here this evening. We'd like to thank the Reverend Greer and the ministers, both ministers, your congregation and the session, for the invitation to come along here and take part in your drive-in this evening. We count it as a great privilege to do so. And we're glad that the weather has brightened up a little. We're coming down the road there, and about Antrim we met a deluge, really, and it only lasted a few minutes, but I think that if it had been here, we would have been washed out. But we're able to be here, and it's a great privilege to be able to preach the Word of God, even in the open air, this evening. Now, I'm going to read some verses from God's precious Word. I'm going to read from the prophecy of Isaiah and from chapter 45, and I'm going to read from verse 15 of the chapter. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 45, and beginning our reading at verse 15. It says, "Verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Saviour. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together. They are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed, nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together, who hath declared this from ancient time, who hath told it from that time, have not I the Lord, and there is none God else beside me, a just God and a Saviour, there is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength, even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory." Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible word to our hearts for his name's sake. Can we just unite together at the throne of grace and commend our meeting again to the Lord and seek his help in the preaching of the word afresh this evening. Let's everyone seek the face of God and ask that the Lord might speak to our hearts and that God might draw very near as we gather around his word this evening. Let's unite together in prayer. Our loving and our gracious God, we thank thee for our meeting already. We thank thee for the praises that have ascended to thee. We thank, Lord, of the words that were sung there by our brother James. Where will you spend eternity? And, O God, we pray that that may be a question that burns itself into the hearts of those that are gathered under the sound of thy word this evening, and maybe even further afield into the town. Our God, we pray that thy word might have free course and be glorifying. We thank thee we have a mighty Saviour. We thank thee that the one that we proclaim is the Saviour who is mighty to save, able to save, and we thank thee is willing to save those that come unto him by faith. And so, gracious God, we pray that thou wouldst come and bless as thy word is proclaimed, for it is in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. You might have guessed my text this evening. It is the words of verse 22 here. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. This is the text that the great Baptist preacher C.H. Spurgeon was saved through. Sir Spurgeon was to become one of the greatest preachers of his age. Eventually he would preach to audiences somewhere from 5,000, 6,000 and beyond for 40 years until his death on January the 31st, 1892. And many will know the story of how he was saved. It was in a small gospel meeting, a little church in Artillery Street in Colchester. A number of years ago, I had the privilege of going and looking inside that church. And today there's a little plaque at the place where Spurgeon sat in that precious meeting. But Spurgeon was a young 15-year-old boy. He was under conviction of sin. He was seeking the things of God. And he was making his way. That day was a very cold, snowy, wintry day. Spurgeon was going to another meeting, to another church. But the snow beat him, and he decided he would go into the little church in Artillery Street. And because of the snow, there was no preacher. The man who was engaged to preach had not turned up. And so there was a little man that got up, and Spurgeon says in his own words, he said, at last, a very thin looking man, a shoemaker or tailor or something of this sort, went up to the pulpit to preach. He said he was obliged to stick to his text for the simple reason that he had little else to say. The text was, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." But he says he did not pronounce the words rightly, but that did not matter. He said there was a thought, a glimpse of hope for me in that text. And Spurgeon went on to describe how some of the things that the man said. And in good primitive Methodist fervour, the man was in earnest. And Spurgeon told how he said, "The text says, look unto me." And then he said, "Look unto me, I am sweating great drops of blood. Look unto me, I am hanging on the cross. Look unto me, I am dead and buried. Look unto me, I rise to my Father's right hand. Look unto me, for I ascend up into heaven. Look unto me, a poor sinner, look unto me." And he said that he spun out about 10 minutes of this. And then he said he came to his wit's end. And he said he spied me in the meeting. He said I was a stranger there, and he probably knew that. And he said, "Young man, you look miserable." He said, "You will be miserable in life and in death unless you look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But," he said, "you can look now and you can find eternal life and you can find the blessing of sins forgiven." And then he says in his primitive Methodist style, he said to the young man Spurgeon, "Look, look, look to Jesus Christ." And Spurgeon said that suddenly God in his mercy caused the scales to fall from his eyes. And he was able to see that all that he needed to do was look to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And he was able to find eternal life. He said, "I had been waiting for 50 things to happen. 50 things to take place. But," he said, "by this charming word, God wrote his word on my heart, and the darkness rolled away, and in a moment I saw the Son of Righteousness and came and put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ." And it was in that way that the 15-year-old Charles Spurgeon found Christ. It started with a realization that he was a sinner, that he needed eternal life, and then the realization that if he looked to the Lord Jesus Christ, he could find that salvation. And men and women, here is a text that speaks to the heart. You know, in the context here, it was addressed to the people of Isaiah's day. It was a day of danger for them. The Assyrians were coming, and they were in danger. And the prophet says, "Look to God to be saved." In this day, there is a danger that is out there for us. It's not the armies of soldiers, but the invisible army of disease, the coronavirus that is invading our land and all around us. And in the time of danger, what you need to do is look. You need to look to Christ. You need to look to God. And you need to be saved today. And oh, it is my prayer and the prayer of others here this evening, that just as Charles Spurgeon looked to the Lord Jesus Christ so many years ago, that you might look to the one who is able, who is willing to save you tonight, and that you might be saved. Are you saved, men, women? Are you saved, young people? Are you saved by the grace of God? Dear friend, you can be saved when you look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's think of what Spurgeon heard here in this text of Scripture. And I want you to see some things about what we have in this precious Word of God. I want you to see, first of all, we have the source of salvation. The text says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." And you notice where we are to look. The text says, God says, "Look unto me." He does not say, "Look anywhere else." Don't be looking to yourself. There are so many people, and they're looking to themselves to get out of their problems. For they're looking to themselves to get out of their difficulties, to overcome their problems. You can't look to yourself. Maybe you're looking to some religious leader, or some priest or prelate. Maybe you're looking to your church membership. You're looking to your baptism. You're looking to the fact that you have your name on the church roll. Dear friend, it's not religion that you need. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that you need. Don't be looking to religion, for that's just another god. That's an idol to you. The Lord Jesus, the Lord of glory, says, "Look unto me. Look unto me." Don't be examining yourself and your repentance and what you said. But dear friend, you look to the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the only Savior. And I want you to see why he is the only Savior. I want you to realize he's the only Savior because of his sovereignty. There's none other can deal with your problems. There's none other, can deal with the depths of your soul. I wonder today, have you ever considered how big a problem it is that you face? You think of the bend of your heart. You think of the things that the sin of your heart has brought in. Maybe at times that old habit, that old sin, that besetting sin. And maybe you've tried to deal with it yourself. And at times it seems perhaps as if you're making some progress. But then you feel and you realize that you've been fighting a losing battle. Dear friend, you think of the governments of the world. And they spend all their resources trying to eradicate the problems of sin, trying to deal with crime, trying to deal with turmoil and anguish and mental problems and suicide, trying to deal with the problems of the heart. And they haven't been able to do it with all their resources and all their money. Trying to deal with the drug problem. Trying to deal with the besetting problem in the heart of man. The misery that it brings. The broken relationships that it brings into the hearts and lives of people. And men have tried to solve these problems, but they cannot solve them because it is a problem of the heart. And the only one who can solve that problem, you think of the problem of death. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And with all his technology and with all his advances, man cannot solve the problem of death. But there is one who can. And that is the mighty God of heaven, the Creator, the one who has made us. And with all the problems that we face and the broken relationships and the misery. Dear friend, are you in misery tonight? Dear friend, do you see the depths of what your sin has brought you to? Well, I'm glad tonight that there's one who can meet you at the point of your need. And that one is the God of heaven. The God who has made you, the infinite, eternal, unchangeable God of heaven. He is the one who is able to put his hand upon your problem and bring you blessing and bring you life and bring you pardon. He is the only one who can meet your need because of his sovereignty. He is also the only one who can save you and meet your need because of his situation. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is in a unique situation. You see, he is God and man in two distinct natures, but one person. We think of how he has come in his incarnation. And we think of how, because he is God and man, he is able to be a mediator between God and man. The Bible says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And there is a God to be reconciled, and only Christ can reconcile. There's a law to be honored, and only Christ can do that. And he could keep the law on our behalf. And men and women, the only one who can stand before God in your behalf is the only mediator, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 John 2 and 1, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And I want to tell you, you need a mediator and you need an advocate. You can't come into God's presence in your sin. You cannot come to him. You need him, but you can't come to him. You need a mediator. So he is the only Savior because of his situation. We commend to you tonight the only Savior. Not only is the only Savior because of his sovereignty, because of his situation, but because of his sufficiency. He's the righteous Lamb of God. He's the one who taketh away the sin of the world. He is the pure and holy Savior, the one who kept the law on our behalf. Remember how he was handed over to be crucified, and even Pilate, Pontius Pilate, had put him to death. He said, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. Oh, he was the innocent, pure, blessed Lamb of God. But he went to the cross and shed his blood that we might be redeemed. And he cried on the cross, it is finished. He had done all that needed to be done. And you don't need to do anything tonight. All you have to do is depend upon what he has done. He's the only Savior because he's a sufficient Savior. You can rely upon him. You can put your eternity in his hands tonight. Because of his sufficiency. But then he's the only Savior because of his sacrifice. We think of how he paid the ransom price on our behalf. Galatians 3 and 13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on the tree. And the Lord Jesus gave himself to the death of the cross. And there he had the wrath of God poured out upon him. And he bore that wrath and punishment of sinners, and justice was satisfied. And it says in Romans 5 and 11, we also join God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. Oh, thank God for the Prince of Life, who entered into the jaws of death willingly for the joy that was set before him, that he might win the lost to Christ, the one who was the resurrection and the life. And he humbled himself under the cruel hands of death. Oh, what a wonderful Savior we have tonight. And the only qualification you need for God to save you is that you are a sinner, and that you will come to him for salvation. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But what you need to do is look. You know, the equivalent to this passage is what we read of in the book of Numbers chapter 21. How that, you remember how the children of Israel were in the wilderness You remember how the serpents came in and began to bite, and a whole lot of them died. Remember how that Moses put a brass serpent on a pole, and whoever looked to that brass serpent was healed. And the Lord Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that you might look to him. Will you look tonight? Will you come and by faith look to the blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ? We see something then in this passage of Scripture of the source of salvation. But then I want you to see something else. I want you to see the simplicity of salvation. You notice how plain and simple this is. What does the text say? What does the Lord say to his people? He says, look unto me. It's just a look. Anybody can look. It doesn't require education to look. It doesn't require political power to look. It doesn't require excellence in any way to look. No matter who you are, no matter what condition you may be, the text says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And you need to look, dear friend. You've got to come. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But I want you to think about the presumption of the command here. He has to command us to look because we're not looking. It means that at our moment, this moment, our eyes are turned away from him. And you know, we're looking in the wrong direction. I wonder, is that you tonight, dear friend? Are you looking in the wrong direction? You know, you may be looking at the world. Your eyes are upon the things of the world. You're thinking about your job. You're thinking about your work. You're thinking about your business. Where are your thoughts tonight? Where does your life center? Is it upon the selfishness? Are you absorbed with self? It's me and mine and the things of this day and generation. And you're not thinking about eternity. Our brother sung those words. Where will you spend eternity? Isn't it about time that you began to think about these things? You've been looking at the world. Your eyes have been downward. Isn't it about time that you began to look up to the heavens? There's something far beyond this world. There's something far beyond this life. Dear friend, don't you know within your soul, within your heart tonight, that there's something that lies beyond death? There are those that tell us today that when we die, we're put in the ground and that's the end. But dear friend, your soul knows, your heart knows that there's something far beyond this life. And dear friend, you know that there's an eternity to come. And you're looking in the wrong direction. Your eyes are down. Isn't it about time you lifted your eyes heavenward? Isn't it about time that you began to think about God? Thought about your soul. Thought about where you're going. We see the presumption of the command. You're looking in the wrong direction. Won't you look in the right direction? Would you look to God? Would you look to Christ? Not to me, not to my denomination, not to the church, not to the minister. But look to Christ. You see the presumption of the command. But also, well, you see the problem of the command. Because for many people it's too simple. All we've got to do is look by faith. And oh, you say, well, it can't be. I've got to do something. I've got to go through a ritual. I've got to go through a ceremony. I've got to be questioned. I've got to have an interview. I've got to do something. It's got to pay. It's got to cost me in some way. There's got to be great and mighty deeds that are got to be done in order for me to get to heaven. No, dear friend, the wonder, the glory of the gospel isn't without money and without price. The price has been paid. It's a gift. Maybe you're like Naaman in the Old Testament. And we read about Naaman, how that he went to the prophet Elisha and he wanted to know how he could be healed of his leprosy. And Elisha didn't even go out to meet him, but he sent out a servant and he told the man, go dip 7 times in the river Jordan. And Naaman thought, well, isn't this enough? I'm an important man. And the prophet didn't even come out to see me. And he says, I've got to go and dip in a dirty river. Surely it's got to be more than that. Surely I am more important than that to dip in a dirty river. And he said, it's got to be more than that. And maybe you're saying, it's more than that. No, it's not, dear friend. The wonder, the glory is that this is simple. But oh, dear friend, you're caught up in this. The problem of the command is that for so many people it's simple. But it is simple. You can be saved tonight. You can be saved right now. You can come to Christ right where you are. That's how simple it is. You can be changed. And in a moment of time, you can go away tonight and lay your head on the pillow tonight. Saved, transformed, with new life. But what about the practicality of the command? You say, it says, look unto me. What do you mean? I can't see God. I can't behold God. What does it mean, look unto me? God says, look unto me, and I can't look. Oh, yes, you can. You can look by faith. You can look by faith. You know, the author of the Hebrews describes his walk with God. And he says that looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we lift up our eyes by faith to him. What does looking mean? It means leaning. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh dear friend, you can put your eternity in his hands. If you put it in my hands, you'd be leaning on a broken reed. If you put it in any prelate's hands, you'd be leaning on a broken reed. But you put yourself and your eternity in the hands of God, and you're never going to be let down. It means leaning. It means coming by faith. William Penn, the founder of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, was led by the Indians in that day. And one day the Indians, in a fit of friendship, offered him land if he could walk round, whatever he could walk round. And William Penn took them at their word. And he started out one day and he walked round what now has become the centre of the city of Philadelphia. And the Indians were surprised that he had taken them at his word. But they said, well, we promised you and we've got to give it to you. You see, William Penn had faith. He believed. Dear friend, you've got to believe. Believe what you're told. Don't believe what I'm saying. Just look in the word of God. The Lord says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. There's salvation there. Salvation for you. If you look by faith. Faith or looking means leaning. But also looking means leaving. You see, the word that is translated look there in the Hebrew is a word that has the thought of turning back. And the Lord was bidding them to turn back and look. There had to be a turning round. Not only is there faith here, there is repentance. There's a turning away from the old. There's a looking to the new. Turn from the old ways. Turn from the path you're going down. And turn round and look to Christ. Turn from the old sin. Turn from the old world. Turn from the misery. Turn from the wickedness that has benighted your heart and your soul. And turn round. Turn away from your sin. Turn away from the things that have been bringing you down. The old sin, the old ways. Look to Christ. And he says that if you look, you say, well, I can't. Well, he gives you the power to look. And dear friend, when you look, when you turn round, he makes, or you are a new creature. in the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friend, you come in repentance to Him. Looking means leaning, and means leaving. But looking also means not looking. Not looking to other things. Looking away from others. Looking away from the friends. Looking away from the obstacles. Looking only to the Lord Jesus Christ. And looking means loving. Dear friend, you don't love Him now. Your heart's at enmity against Him. And maybe you are demonstrating that right while I am speaking, because you're saying to yourself, well, I won't listen to the preacher. I won't listen to what he has to say. I'm not going to come to Christ. I'm not going to trust in Him. And dear friend, there you are. Your heart is hating Him. But looking to Him means looking in love. Looking to the One who is able to deliver you. Look into the One who is able to provide for you. Look into the One who's provided eternal life by His death on the cross. Why, dear friend, would you not look to Him in love? And you need to look. Look by faith. Look in repentance. Look away from the other things. Look to Christ. But men and women, you need to look. But not only do we see here the source of salvation and the simplicity of salvation, but I want you to see the scope of salvation. Look at what it says. He says, look unto Me, be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And that includes you, doesn't it? If it's the ends of the earth, it includes you. Oh, maybe you are the sort of person that you've come along tonight and you're glad that you can sit in your car and you don't have to get out of the car and you can, as it were, secrete yourself away in the midst of all this. Maybe you're the type of person who comes in to the meeting and you sit at the back and you feel, well, nobody really regards me. Nobody really takes that much notice of me. And maybe you have thought, well, God would have no thought about me. God would have no regard for me. No, He has, dear friend. He's looking down now. He sees in your heart. He sees everywhere you walk. He sees the very thoughts of your mind and your heart. But dear friend, He looks upon you. And you are the One that He's inviting to look. Here are the One He's commanding to look. Doesn't matter where you are, where you've come from, what you've done, what you've not done. He says, look unto Me, all ye ends of the earth. The Eskimos in the Arctic, the Aborigines in the outback of Australia, all are invited, commanded to look to Him. And God is commanding men and women in Ballymena tonight to look to Him. Oh, will you heed His command? Will you heed His command? Will you turn to Him? We see the scope of His salvation. But then I want you to see the security of this salvation. He says, look unto Me. And be ye saved. There's a certainty. There is a security that's expressed here. Not only is there the command in the text, but there is something of a promise. He says, if you look to Me, you'll be saved. You know, I wonder if you've ever seen those offers or the products that are advertised on the internet. And sometimes if you're looking for a product on Amazon or some of these things, it will say not delivered to Northern Ireland or to the Scottish Highlands. Well, I'm glad that that doesn't apply to God's salvation. I'm glad that, dear friend, that wherever you may be, even on a desert island, you can receive His salvation. And it is certain. We can say, put it on the authority of the Word. Come now, he says, let us reason together. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. If any man thirst, he says, let him look to me. There, here is something that is said upon the authority of his word. Not only is there the authority of his word, but the authority of his promises. All that the Father giveth, he says, shall come to me. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. There is the authority of his promise. Not only is the authority of the word and the authority of the promise, but there's the authority of his mission. You think of what it says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. The Son of Man is come to what? To seek and to save that which is lost. This is what he came to do. That's why he died on the cross. To save. He was called Jesus. Why? Because he would save his people from their sins. There is the authority of his character. He is a just God. He is a gracious Savior. He is a God of love. He is one who delighteth in mercy. And his mercy is available to you. But also I want you to think about the authority of his record. Because there's none that has ever called upon him, that he's ever turned away. You think about the poor leper. You think about a Samaritan harlot. You think about a poor publican. You think about a persecuting Pharisee. You think about a dying thief. And when they called upon the name of the Lord, they were saved. And if you will but call tonight, you, upon the authority of his word, and the authority of his promise, and the authority of his mission, and the authority of his character, and the authority of his record, you too will be saved. But one more word. I want you to think about the securing of this salvation. You say, when is the best time to look to Christ? Well, the Bible says, now. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The past is gone. The future is uncertain. We do not know what a day may bring forth. The present is ours. And the present is all you're guaranteed of. So in this meeting, as you sit in your car, as you listen to my voice tonight, and my voice, as far as you're concerned, will soon be still, isn't it about time that you were saved? Isn't it about time you came and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, C.H. Spurgeon, as we said, was saved through this text. Suddenly, as the little preacher, all the poverty of his preaching, said to the young man, look, look, look to Christ. Spurgeon realized that what he needed to do was look. And you know what he said? He said, I could have risen that moment and sung with the most enthusiastic of them of the precious blood of Christ. And with simple faith which looks alone, he said, I could have looked my eyes away. I could have looked my eyes away as he beheld the Savior. Will you not do that tonight? Will you not be wise and call upon the Lord for salvation, for mercy, for forgiveness, for eternal life? come to him. Look to Christ and be ye saved. Be ye saved. We bid you turn to the Saviour. Let's just bow, please, in a little word of prayer. And as we bow, I want you to bow wherever you are in your car. And I want you to think about what we have said. Isn't it about time that you looked? Isn't it about time that you turned around and looked? You have been on a road, and you are on a road right now. If you continue on that road, it'll lead to damnation. But dear friend, there's life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. And the hymn says, look, sinner, look unto him and be saved. Unto him who has died on the tree. You're at enmity against him. Your heart is rebelling. But for your soul's eternal welfare, look. Lift your eyes. Look. Call upon the Lord for mercy. Will you do that now as we're bowed in prayer? Our loving God and our gracious Father, we do thank thee for thy precious word this evening. We thank thee for the simplicity of what men and women need to do. We're glad that our Saviour has accomplished all that needed to be done. We thank thee for the one who died on the cross and shed his blood that we might be saved. And O God, we pray that there may be those this evening who will look to Christ in faith and call upon thee for mercy. Bless thy word. Write it upon hearts. And save by thy grace, for Jesus' sake. Now part us in thy fear, and with thy blessing, we pray that thou wouldst take us to our homes in safety. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with thy people, both now and in the incoming days, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Friend, if God has spoken to you, then we'd love to speak to you tonight. But we say, don't go away without the Saviour. May God bless you, and may God bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake. Amen.